Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven and author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone, today I'm joined by Hazel. Hazel is a freelance writer and content marketer, helping fabulous female entrepreneurs build dedicated tribes of ideal clients. She's also a best-selling urban fantasy author, Huffington Post blogger, and editor at Sci-Fi Fantasy Network. What an intro. That's so fun.
Thank you.
How did you end up with that spectrum of fun titles?
Wow. That's been developing for a few years, I guess. The book writing came first, and then I realized how much I loved writing. So when I was sort of out of work and trying to figure out what to do for a job, I sort of naturally kind of fell into writing for other people. And obviously I've built that into a business, and that led to Huffington Post and various other things. So yeah, it just sort of spiraled, I guess.
Wow, it's fab. And I assume that it hasn't been a necessarily easy transition and path to get to where you are now.
No, not at all. I was an archaeologist before I became an entrepreneur. And essentially, I have bipolar disorder. So I had a fairly major health emergency that left me completely kind of incapable of doing my previous job, and this was my way of kind of taking back control, I guess, and making sure that I could still, you know, work and have a full-time employment and do everything on my own terms without, you know, getting so stressed out by it that it made me ill. So it's not been easy, but it's definitely the best thing I've ever done.
And what I've been asking everyone this: what does being an adult mean to you?
Bills. I don't know. I really haven't ever felt like an adult. I still feel basically like I always did when I was like a teenager and in my early 20s, which is like I have absolutely no idea what's happening from one day to the next, and I really need somebody to kind of step in and say to me occasionally, come on now, you need to, you know, sort of be responsible and do things properly. And it took me a while to figure out that I'd been doing that for a while. I just didn't feel like I had. So I don't know. I guess being an adult is doing all the stuff that you have to do without realizing that it's adult stuff, if that makes any sense. So I don't know.
It's interesting because people go to one end of the spectrum when I ask this question, right? So our whole premise is to kind of really explore everything from being completely wild to being completely responsible and that line in between. And some people, as soon as I talk about adulting in some way, right, they suddenly go into wanting to talk about body stuff, or wanting to talk about sex, or wanting to talk about like the things you can't possibly do at any other time, and that mean that that you are an adult. People like want to talk about what it's all to do with money and to do with responsibility, and so I love this idea that there is this really interesting spectrum and line between responsibility and like what we have to get done. And you're absolutely right, a huge amount of being an adult is just surviving the day to day and making sure that we've got a roof over our head and there's food in the fridge and the bills are paid and, you know, the bailiffs don't come and take stuff away. And then there's some fun stuff too.
Yeah, I think I did everything backwards. I think most people, you know, they save the sex and the crazy stuff for when they're older and they're an adult. And I did that all in my teens and my early 20s and got quite wild, really. And then had to kind of go the opposite way on everything and do the boring sort of almost, I don't know, I think the last few years I've almost felt like I was going through the awkward teenage phase that most people went through when they were actually teenagers, that I just never had, because when I was a teenager I was really uninhibited and just kind of did whatever the hell I felt like.
So that's really interesting to me. You talked to me about confidence and fear. Would you say then that you're more fearful now than you were then?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Certainly, teens and early 20s, I was fearless, absolutely fearless. I didn't have any issues. I didn't have any issues. I did have issues, but I didn't have any issues with being afraid of doing things. I did whatever I felt like, whenever I felt like it. And the issues that I had were kind of more internal ones. So, I suffered with bulimia. So I had like body confidence issues, but they didn't really manifest as me not doing things because I felt bad about myself. If anything, I went the other way and I had this kind of insane overconfidence that I sort of projected outwardly despite feeling very insecure internally. And since I've, sort of come into my late 20s and now my early 30s, I've gone the other way around. I've developed a lot more inner confidence, but the inner confidence has brought with it a lot of external kind of like worries and sort of like feeling like I shouldn't do things because, I've put on a lot of weight, so I can't go places and I can't see people and I can't date and I can't have sex and I can't do all of this because all this external stuff. But inside, I've actually really, sort of sorted myself out. So it's been a bit of an odd kind of shift around for me to go from being totally unafraid of doing anything and doing whatever I felt like, whenever I felt like it, to feeling like I could never do anything at all. And yet at the same time, being a lot more stable as a result. So it's a bit contradictory, I think.
And what have been the biggest lessons that you've learned? You said that you've gained these internal confidences or this kind of feeling of being a lot more stable and understanding yourself, and yet on the outside there's all this stuff that you can't do. Do you really feel like you can't do it, or do you feel like society tells you you can't do it?
Partly, yes, definitely. There is some of the, fat girls shouldn't do this, fat girls shouldn't do that. Like, I started a vlog at the beginning of this year, and it took me a good 6 months to actually get to it, longer than I intended, because of this notion that I really shouldn't be vlogging because, I was too fat. And nobody wants to see that, nobody wants to see fat girls on telly, and nobody wants to see, fat girls in adverts and in magazines. So yes, there is a lot of sort of...
And is that true? Has nobody watched it, or has...
No, it's not even remotely true. It was one of the things I realised very, very quickly after I actually started doing it. So many people had the opposite reaction. So many people came to me saying, oh my God, you're so brave, I can't believe you did that. Not saying, I can't believe you did that because you're overweight and it's really brave of you to do that when you're overweight. Literally nobody mentioned it. They just, it's never once been mentioned to me in nearly a year. The only person that was even thinking about it was me. So, there is kind of the social element to it. But I think a lot of it is more kind of my own fear that if I let myself do things, I'll screw them up, because I screwed up a lot, sort of for a good decade or so.
Did you try things out and they didn't work? Like, I, this is this notion, like, isn't that what our teens and our early 20s is for?
Yeah, I guess. I think for me though, possibly because of the bipolar, I think, there were a lot more heavy consequences for me for things when they did go wrong than there were for other people. So, when things went wrong with me, I ended up in hospital half dead, or I ended up, losing my job, or I ended up, losing my job again. So it wasn't, obviously there was the normal stuff that people learn as they get older, and they try things and it doesn't work and they get that. But for me, I think I seem to jump from one crisis to the next because I never quite seemed to get it right. And I think that was just like a case of everything being very, very exaggerated due to my my mental health, issues.
And how's your mental health now? And
well, this is what I'm saying. Everything's a lot more stable now for me internally. I was diagnosed when I was 25, so I'd had it for a good well, going on 15 years before I was ever diagnosed with it, and it had just been getting progressively worse. And, you know, it was never treated. Nobody knew that it was even, you know, that that was the issue. So getting a diagnosis, getting treatment, you know, going to therapy, having medication to take, it was all a process, and I learned an awful lot about myself in the process, and I've ended up an awful lot more stable and capable of, you know, sort of coping with things normally, like most people do as a result, which is great. But I think there's just this fear that if I try and do things, because I haven't really done things for so long, because for a few years I really had to kind of just sort of focus on getting better. So I stopped doing things for that reason. And now it's like, what if I try? And I just instantly go back to how I was before, you know, and suddenly get ill again. So I think it's an internal block that stops me doing a lot of stuff, because I worry that doing stuff will make me ill.
And if there's anyone out there who's got a friend who's recently been diagnosed with bipolar, or is feeling like their body size or image or weight or how they look is stopping them from doing those things, what could they do you think, to support that friend?
I think the biggest thing that people did for me was to act like it wasn't an issue. And when I say act like it, I mean, like, for them, it genuinely wasn't an issue. So it never came up. So the people who never asked me about my weight, the people who never asked me if I'm dieting and how that's going, the people who never make little comments like, you know, oh, you know, you look nice, you know, you wear that well, like, you know, there was any other way to wear something. It's, and the people who have treated me the same as they did before they found out that I was ill, like exactly the same. I think the best example I can give of this is, I was at a Christmas party last year, and I ran into a friend that I hadn't seen in probably about eight or nine years, and he just stopped at the party and he was chatting to me for only about 10 or 15 minutes. But he was speaking to me literally as if, you know, no time had passed, nothing was different. I was exactly the same as I had been. And, you know, I hadn't gained 13 stone and had a complete mental breakdown in the interim of him seeing me last. And that, I think, was the biggest confidence boost I've had in years, was this notion that people could still see me as a person rather than an ill person. So I would say, try not to focus on their illness. Try to focus on the person you've always known and the person you've always loved, and just treat them exactly as you would have done had they never been ill.
Thank you for that. And was there anything that, if you could go back and tell your younger self, that might have got you diagnosed quicker?
I think I would say it's not supposed to be this hard. Because for years, I felt like everybody had to deal with the same stuff that I did. Like, you know, like it was perfectly normal to have the mood swings that I had, to, you know, to have the depression, to have the suicidal thoughts and the actual suicide attempts. I thought that was something that everybody went through, because nobody had ever told me that it wasn't. And that was my frame of reference, I suppose. That was my experience of the world. That was normal for me. And unless somebody actually says to you, life is not supposed to be this hard, you know, there's something making it harder for you than there is for other people, and you need to get that sorted out. So yeah, that's definitely what I'd say to my younger self, if I could. And also that it does get better, you know, that there are ways of treating it and managing it so that it's not that hard anymore, and life is, you know, wonderful and like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what, it's an ongoing journey, and you're not done.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, you're so not done. The number of times I think about how scary it is that I very nearly died on two occasions that I can think of in particular, when I came very, very close to dying. And I would have been happy at that point if I had. And the, like, because I felt like then that was it, that I was done, that I just couldn't deal with it anymore, and that there wasn't anything more. So yeah, definitely, you're not done. And there's so much more than you think there is. Like, even now, you know, you get in your 30s and you think, oh yeah, I've got this life lock sorted, I know what it is. And then, you know, something happens and it's just like, whoa, never would have seen myself doing this like a year ago. So yeah, definitely not done.
Yeah, and also the notion that we could be perfect, that we could be done, you know, that you can come back from that place of things feeling difficult and end up in a place where you're like, I think a lot of it, people get focused on being this perfect adult, and that if I keep following this plan, or I go to the therapy, or I take these meds, or if I do this thing, at some point I will be done and then I'll get the ideal life. And so both ends of the spectrum aren't true, because there is no done. There just is the day to day.
Yeah, I don't understand where the ideal comes from in the first place. And I think people definitely have them. I certainly have them even now, you know, as wonderful as life has become in recent years for me, there are still things, especially my weight in particular, where I often feel like, you know, I can't do that until I've lost the weight. Once I've lost the weight, I'll start dating again. I'll start running again. I'll, you know, travel. I'll, you know, and there's all these things. And at some point you think, well, why on earth are you kind of holding yourself back, waiting for yourself to be a perfect self? Like, who decided who your perfect self was, and why the hell can't it be the you that you are right now?
Yeah. Had there been any kind of role models or people that have inspired you or helped you to find that inner confidence and be more at peace with where you are right now?
I don't know that there's been any specific role models. There are a lot of people who kind of like fed into a hole, like little bits. Stephen Fry, I think, was the first person who, obviously after my diagnosis, he was one of the first people that somebody mentioned to me that he had bipolar as well. I think he's actually been re-diagnosed now with something slightly different. But that was the first time for me when I realised that people could have this thing and still be successful. Mm. So I've kind of collected stories about, you know, like amazing people that have, you know, similar issues. So like Carrie Fisher, you know, obviously Princess Leia from Star Wars. Star Wars is one of my favourite films. She had bipolar disorder, and you know, so many wonderful actresses and singers and writers and just amazing people. And not just with bipolar, but depression and schizophrenia and, you know, like all manner of things that they have. And they've still just kind of been themselves and put themselves out there. And everybody just loves them because they are so phenomenally talented. So I think it's probably been a case of a lot of different people who in little ways kind of inspired me to realise that just because you have something like that to deal with, it doesn't mean that you can't still be successful and that you can't still be exactly who you are, and that there's nothing wrong with being a little bit different, I suppose.
And there absolutely isn't, right? I've got a whole business around it. Because you guys, and I am, like, I think the Misfits are the interesting people, right?
They really are,
who wants to be cookie cutter? Cookie cutter is so boring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have been doing this thing with all of the people, because some of the stuff that we've just talked about is a little heavy. It's true. It's no, please never apologize for it. I think it's really, really important. I think the more that we can normalize bipolar, schizophrenia, all of the kind of the different and diverse mental health issues that there are, and the more that we can talk about body image and that's a real range, right the way through from it being healthy to be one way, and you know, there's a whole spectrum and plethora of things here that if we can talk about it and normalize it and show other people that you can still be successful, and that actually, you know, your size has got nothing to do with it, and your mental state often has nothing to do with it, it's still something that you can master, that we've all got to do that piece of work. So I think it's like, never apologize. I wouldn't have had you here if I didn't want to have this conversation. But we've also been ending with a little bit of fun. We've been, I've been saying to people, I'm an adult, but, and my reasoning behind that really is that, you know, it's all very well to say, here are some coping mechanisms. Yes, I've moved forward in my life. I absolutely am not thinking about suicide anymore. And, I've done some things to change that in my life. I focused on where I want to be and who I am right now. And I've moved forward in that way. And yet none of us are perfect, right? So I'm going to start and we'll see where we go. We're going to do two each. I am an adult. But I've just discovered two checks on my desk that have been here for more than 6 months that need paying into my bank. but in all seriousness, checks, who, why? Why would you send me a check?
Oh, you're not alone there, I do that as well. So I'm an adult, but I don't do the washing up ever. I hate doing the washing up. I actually get my cleaner to do the washing up.
How often does your cleaner come?
Once a week. I know, it's really bad. It's actually, I do sometimes do it once in the middle, but I hate it. I avoid it like the plague.
That's fantastic. Okay. I love these. I am an adult, but I have not been putting myself to bed on time recently, and as a result I'm so tired and I really need a proper 8 hours, and I need a grown-up to come and put me to bed and turn my phone off and tell me it's bedtime.
Oh, that's great. I'm an adult, but I think my favorite thing to do is to watch DuckTales with my goddaughters.
I miss DuckTales. Oh, fantastic. Hazel, thank you for coming and talking to me about this stuff. We will put all the links to your writing and where people can find you on the show notes. If people are looking for your social media or they want to find you, where's the best place to go and look?
Social media is probably Facebook or YouTube or my blog.
Yeah, where's your vlog? Where can they go? What do they need to search for or look for?
The Right Copy Girl.
The Right Copy Girl. Fantastic. Well, we will put all the links in on the show notes so people can find them. And anything else that we have talked about in this episode, and any links that might be useful to you if you are suffering from bipolar or feeling like your weight is out of control and you want some help and support with it, we'll pop them in there as well. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.